Hey guys, it's Monday, starting your week off with a podcast here talking about how you can be praying for your pastor, for your pastor's wife, for your pastor's family. And to help us think through that, she's been here for the last 4 weeks. This is her fifth episode on the podcast here, is Megan Kofer. Megan, the wife of Jonathan Kofer, the student pastor at Antioch Baptist Church here in Conway. And so Megan, thank you for spending your time here with us, helping us kind of think through some different things that take place in the glass house and how churches can pray for their pastors, for their wives, and different things like that. One last one that you have for us. Okay. Lay it on us here, girl.
So for our last week we said it was going to be pretty epic, so buckle up. Today, the main idea for our topic today is praying for your youth pastor or your pastor's wife for her mind. And that is kind of, I kind of felt weird writing that one down. It's not like a typical thing that you would think of. But as I was praying through it, I think our minds are a huge battlefield for
Absolutely.
Satan. And if we're not cautious, if we're not guarding our hearts and our minds, then Satan will use every opportunity he has to take stronghold over that. And if we're not focusing our minds on Christ, then everything else is going to fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's this trend in our culture that's been going on for quite a while with social media and all that stuff is this comparison. And I think women can, I know my wife has talked about it quite a bit of being this type of wife and being this type of mom and trying to do all the things. And you can fall into this comparison trap and you can just beat yourself up in your mind of not living up to the expectations or whatever it may be. So what I find interesting about this, and I think this is, you know, to me, this one is epic because I'm thinking of Romans 12, where it talks about by the mercies of God to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and blameless. And then one of the first evidences that that's taking place is that we're not being conformed to the image of the world. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I think that's so critical, that our mind is such a huge battlefield that we have to take very seriously.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's different expectations that people place on you. There's different expectations that maybe you place on yourself. If we're not aligning our thoughts and taking every thought captive and weighing them, like, is this true? Is this honorable? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Because if we're thinking about things, it's going to lead us to anxiety. It's going to lead us self-destruction, really. And so if we're not taking those thoughts captive, if we're not being renewed by the transforming of our minds, then we're going to get stuck in this cycle of, I'm not good enough. God can't use me. I failed and I can't move past it.
Right.
But because of God, but Jesus, but God, like, He makes everything new. He makes everything perfect in His timing. He makes everything good for those who love Him. And so if we can cling to God's promises, cling to God's truths, and not be stuck in our own minds and these self-deprecating thoughts, like, then we can move past that and be who God created us to be. And our identity will be in Him. Our value will be in Him. Our purpose will be found in Him. And so praying for your pastor and his wife's mind to be set on the things of Christ, that they would align themselves with God's truth and nothing else. That's huge, huge, huge.
And it's not even just a daily battle. It's like a moment by moment, because it's so easy to get derailed in that. And that's why abiding is so important, being filled with the Spirit is so important. I think another thing that my wife and I have talked about is, When it comes to your mind, is, I mean, you probably know a lot of things that no other church members know about what's going on in the ins and outs of the church. And it can be, if you're not filled with the Spirit, it can be very easy to walk through the doors bitter and resenting, or, you know, just all kinds of ministry life is a minefield that you're trying to navigate and walk through. And it's very easy to step on a mine and either blow yourself up or blow others up. And I do think that the mind is a, like, it's a frontier type of ministry there. So,
and I think back to the idea of just knowing things that other church members don't, like, they're, I don't know. It's a sticky situation.
Absolutely.
Like a minefield, like you said. And, like, I have the same heart like as you do. And so if you're tempted to be jealous, like I'm tempted to be jealous. Yeah, if you're tempted to be, you know, resentful or prideful, like I'm tempted to do those same things. And so knowing all the other things going on in the church and the background stuff, and then having those same, you know, selfish desires in my own heart, it's like, I need people praying for me. And thankfully, I have a lot of really good friends that have either been pastors' kids themselves or their spouses are in the ministry that I know I can trust and reach out to. And I send them a text, hey, guys, I am struggling today. Like, this is something that I'm really dealing with. Could you please be praying for me? And so whether the church members know exactly what's going on or not, if you're praying for me, like, that it makes me, like, teary, because it is power. Prayer is so powerful. And we, I think sometimes we discount that, like, oh, it's just talking to God. Okay, but you're talking to the God of the universe,
right?
Who created you intimately, wove you together in your mother's womb, knows everything about you. And so if he can intercede, you know, and help, you know, help you, guide you, and to convict you of your sins and to draw you closer to him and to heal your hurts. That's huge. And, you know, one thing I wrote down, we haven't talked about it in all the other weeks, but one thing that I think is massive when it comes to praying for your church's pastor and their families is not just praying for them, but praying with them, praying over them. And that's something that I have found really special, to be able to pray over other pastors' wives. And especially as a pastor's wife, knowing all the things that other pastors' wives are dealing with, just being able to pray God's mercies over them, being able to pray endurance and wisdom and all of these things over them. Not just for them, but with them together. And that's such an encouragement, such a blessing to know others are praying with you.
I think that's powerful to pray with you. But even if it's not that, I mean, I want people to do that. But like sometimes I'll get a text from someone and they'll say, hey, I prayed for you this morning. That's, you know, like the person might be tempted to say, well, that sounds boastful, or, you know, I'm showing off my spiritual whatever. And I'm like, no. I need to know that.
I need that.
Need that. Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Thanks, Megan, for being on the podcast. Did a great job. I know our audience is going to be extremely helped, probably challenged, convicted by what we've been talking about over the last month. So thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Until next week, we're going to still talk about living in the glass house.